In the name of our coming Savior, dear preparing Christians. So can you remember that far back in days long ago when the internet was new? And it was so exciting that someone could send you a picture over the wire. In those days, probably over the telephone line. Lousy pictures usually, fairly pixelated, but oh, how many are saved on your computer? But there was one that burned an impression in my mind because the story behind it was so warm and comforting. I'm reminded today because there are children growing up in this congregation that were preemies, and I remember those calls vividly. But there was a picture of two preemies early on in the internet history where the story was that the brother was doing fine, but his twin sister was failing until a nurse had a great idea. Put them back together. And the little baby girl just started to thrive. The picture is of her twin brother with his arm wrapped around his baby sister. And the caption, hope. Hope makes alive. And it does for us believers too. In fact, the Holy Spirit today as the paraclete in the old King James Version, it was a transliteration of one who stands beside you with an arm around your shoulder, talking like your soulmate to share God's grace in Christ with you through this word. Today, the Holy Spirit, with the arm around you wrapped tightly, says, overflow with hope. Overflow with hope first in Scripture. Sad fact, nothing new. People today like to trash the Old Testament, in particular the Bible as a whole. They did in ancient times too. Just in Isaiah alone, beautiful gospel passages. Our text today from Romans quotes from Isaiah, the Old Testament lesson had one of those passages there. But in Isaiah, there are these times where the Lord, through his holy prophet, is complaining about the hard-hearted unbelief of his own people. Isaiah 30, several examples. This is what they were telling the preachers in those days. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Stop prophesying or stop preaching what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Tell us stories that make us feel good. Leave the way, turn from the path, stop getting in our face about the Holy One of Israel. Don't tell us we need to repent. Does that sound familiar? The Lord pleading in Isaiah 30 still, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. I pray that often when my heart is disturbed about something. In quietness and rest is your strength. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Lord, give me all of it. But that's a miracle to pray that way because this heart is as stubborn as anybody else's. It's hard to say that. In fact, in Isaiah 53, that beautiful passage about the suffering servant and the vivid description of Christ as our substitute. The very first verse, the Lord's prophet Isaiah leads off with this complaint. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You really think that because they could do miracles like Moses and Isaiah and the other prophets that therefore, everybody believed them? No. They didn't believe the message then either. Stop confronting us with the Lord God of Israel. So this beautiful gospel from Isaiah all the way through chapter 66 has to end with a warning that's one of the most vivid descriptions of hell. Their worm will not die and their fire will not be quenched. And all flesh will be horrified by them. If you want more description of that in our Bible class on Sunday morning after we finish Judgment Day next week, we'll finish out the series on the end times with heaven and hell. The Lord tells us plenty. But you know, most people just ignore all these warnings, like if you're in a hurry, you know, you see those yellow signs that are meant to make you slow down. You know how people just blow through those? I mean, now we blow through stop signs too, but if it says 45, that must mean like 65 or something, right? You know, and you just ignore them, and that's the way people ignore the signs, until you're driving a big truck that has maybe a load on it or a van, and you really have to pay attention to what the engineers say this highway can handle. But that's how people treat the Lord. So they want to ignore all the bad stuff, tell us only the good stuff, and the fact of the matter is we can't appreciate the good until we recognize what God has saved us from. But He is giving us hope, even in the warnings. A warning sign maybe can remind you that you'll get around that corner if you pay attention to it. And the Lord says, indeed, whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that through patient endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we would have hope. Not just endurance, but patient endurance. Staying under the load until the Master takes it off, putting one foot in front of the other. He's the God who gives patient endurance and encouragement, and that is that word for the paraclete. The encouragement is this friend as the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, with an arm wrapped tight around you to share your pain, share your suffering, and move you on from grace to glory. He's the God that gives encouragement and good hope. He continues there. In that part, he says, encouragement and good hope, so that you will then have this from God and then have hope that leads you on even through times of trial and tribulation. So you think about some of the heroes of faith in Old Testament times where, you know, we just think they had it all together, but pay attention. Genesis chapter 30 to 50 tells about a family with serious problems. And this is a family of believers. You know how it hurts, because every family has the pain, the turmoil. The best of marriages sometimes are painful. And then just living can be such hard work. Well, look at the heroes of faith of old, like this family where there was so much competition between the sister wives. God allowed it in the Old Testament. Rachel and Leah, and then their servant wives. Not happy. 12 sons of Jacob. 10 of them hated Jacob's favorite, Joseph. You remember what sibling rivalry led to? Selling their brother into slavery? Have you ever heard of something like that? But these are real people in real time with real desperate sin. 20 years. How did Joseph endure? How did he have hope? He had hope in the Scripture, which was passed on not as writings at that time, but from his father Jacob, who told him, as his father Isaac and Abraham before him, the patriarchs, said that the Savior would come through that family. And Joseph could have hope even in prison and false accusation until the Lord lifted him out of prison and made him prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and God turned that wretched sin into a blessing. Not just saving millions of people through Joseph's faithful governing at the time in that famine, but the people of the promise. You and I are here today because the Lord was faithful in his promises in Scripture to Joseph to keep his hope alive until finally the Lord lifted him up and saved the people of the promise by taking him down to Egypt for a few centuries. You know that story, but you have to remember that last verse where Jacob, the father, has died, and this is in chapter 50 of Genesis, and there all the brothers are all afraid. Now Joseph is really going to come down on them with his authority. And he says, yeah, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, so that as you see today, he could save many people alive. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's the hope that we have. And God keeps holding that out in Scripture so that you and I can have that patient endurance and the encouragement that only the gospel can give. The law demands perfection. The gospel says it's done. You remember what Jesus said on the cross? He meant it. His dying breaths are saying it is finished. It is finished. One of our professors, Paul Wendland, a professor now at our seminary, wrote this. The gospel gives us a living hope, gives us a new perspective on the past, creates in us a new life, the kind of life where we live with backs forever turned towards death. Because of the great done of the gospel, we now live, move, and have our being under the great heaven of grace where there is no condemnation. Because of what Jesus did for us in the past, we now have a future without limit. In it, there are no more tears. The old order has passed and gone. When you overflow with hope in Scripture, you're living under the shelter of God's grace. The old order passed and gone. We live, and it has a profound effect on our life together because we overflow with hope also in unity. We're celebrating part of that unity with Josh and Kayla today. And it's good to share with the congregation what you guys went through to get to this day. There's a lot of easier ways to join a congregation than to take 20 lessons of a Bible information class and give so many Saturdays to this study, right? Lots of, and you were baptized believers before you came here. Your mother shared with you the Sunday school stories from long ago throughout your lives and the family discussions. It's one of the great perks of the ministry in these Bible information classes to get to hear the family stories and the backstories of believers where the Lord is strengthening and confirming your faith. It's a wonderful blessing, but there is this unity that is celebrated when finally you can come and say to the congregation on what we call your confirmation day, this faith is mine. I studied it. I examined what you believe and practice here in the light of the Scriptures, and I'm convinced that this is what the Lord says. And you've honored his Holy Supper by not coming, as we ask our guests not to come until they're sure that this church is faithful to God's word, because that's the common union. That's this blessed unity of faith that we have that reaches beyond our congregation here. So as we confirm today in this unity of faith, it's kind of bittersweet for me and others in the congregation who know that you'll be moving northward now. The Lord is calling you to St. Mark's in Bemidji. And we would have loved to keep you here. Lori teaching Sunday school already. Kayla helping out in your own generous, kind-hearted way. Josh looking for examples to use your size and strength to be a blessing. Use your gifts for the congregation for the glory of God. That's what it all is all about. But as I told one of the members commenting about how soon we're going to lose you, it's not really a loss. Psalm 22, it says, the kingdom is the Lord's. And this is the reminder for us as a congregation and for pastors too. The kingdom is the Lord's. So I can be content and happy and say, depart in peace, if only I will hear these words of the Lord come true in your life going forward. Good rumors of what happens when unity comes about overflowing with hope. He says, and may God, the source of patient endurance and encouragement, grant that you agree with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Everything he says, that we agree with Jesus, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, accept one another as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God. So that's the unity of hope overflowing, where we accept each other in the common confession of our faith, this common union of unity in Christ. And then look forward to this wonderful blessing that we have brothers and sisters that we haven't met up in Bemidji that will receive you in the name of the Lord so that you can get to work in that congregation with the gifts and the overflowing grace of God in word and sacrament. And the kingdom grows. And the Lord will make sure it grows through you too. There's this hope that conquers trouble and heartache. You know that trouble lies ahead, but this is what one of my favorite quotes from a pastor, Lindemann, years ago in a Preach the Word to Pastors journal, he shows how hope really helps us stop looking back and look ahead with confidence. Here's how hope brings joy to your soul. You don't live in the past with bitterness and regrets. You are looking forward because you have an incredible future. No matter how rough life may be right now, someday soon you're going to be pain-free and celebrating in everlasting glory. Hope is how you face surgery or tough it out in a difficult work situation. Hope is where your heart is when your body is limping along. Hope is where your heart is when your body is limping along. Overflow with hope in unity. Overflow with hope in confirmation. For I am saying that Christ became a servant of those who are circumcised for the sake of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. We have studied the promises of God together as we do with anyone wanting to become a communicant member of this congregation. We go back and look at what God said in the past to see how absolutely faithful he is to everything he said. So faithful, you can make the sign of the cross. He was willing to keep this promise to send us a Savior to wash away our sins, even at the cost of his own shed blood in the person of God's own Son. That's faithfulness. And Romans 8 again, he who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? These promises confirm our faith. So confirmation really, as we study God's word, is confirming and making solid your confession so that it lasts. So you're standing solidly on Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now at this time in church history, we've become so used to non-Jews, Gentiles, worshiping the God of the Jews that we don't really realize or maybe remember how awesome this miracle is. But as Paul gets to the end of Romans, he has already talked in chapters 9, 10, and 11 about how his heart just aches for his own Jewish people if they could only recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah sent through them so they could be what today is called Jews for Jesus. Maybe some of you have heard there are Jews who trust in Jesus as their Savior and their Messiah. We wish there were more. Paul wished that there were more. But he actually has four verses here at the end of our text where he talks to the Gentiles and says, rejoice, Gentiles, trust in Jesus, the Savior that God sent through the Jewish people. You Gentiles, you non-Jews, can praise his holy name and give him praise because this is the root of Jesse. And he is the one who will rise up to rule the Gentiles. On him, the Gentiles will place their hope. I don't know if you've seen a stump that was cut off and then a shoot comes up through that stump and another tree grows out of it. Stories of the redwood forests out in Northern California where the pioneers were determined that they were going to clear the forest, you know, use the wood, build homes and so forth. But these redwood trees are just so stubborn. If you ever get to go, you can have a tree that fell over years ago and is rotting. It may be standing that tall on this trunk. You can't see the top of them a lot of times. And the branches on the redwood tree become more trees that are just huge. They could not clear that forest. I think of that in terms of this shoot from the stump of Jesse where the Babylonian captivity cut them off and the Lord raised them up again so that he could send the Savior through his chosen people, and you and I as Gentiles could celebrate today. We celebrate in Scripture, we celebrate in unity, we celebrate in confirmation, confirmed in that faith which is solidly resting on hope. There's a passage in the end of the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13, where the holy apostle, still the apostle Paul, says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Remember that? We wondered at SEM how, you know, hope would remain in heaven. You can understand how faith would remain there because it's perfected in Christ. All the promises have come true. You're looking at eternity with God and fellow believers in heaven forever with the Lord. And love, oh, love's purest joy is restored. Everyone close in heaven with those near and dear to you, but all the other believers near and dear to you too. Somehow in this vast and endless expanse, no longer bound by time and space, everybody close in love's purest joy is restored. But Professor, how can there still be hope in heaven when everything we've hoped for is finally fulfilled there? One writer said that the glories of heaven are inexhaustible and we will never get through exploring them. Dr. Becker explained it more this way. He said, hope is the eager expectation of good from God. When you hope in God through Jesus Christ, you constantly expect and anticipate a better day. Even the worst of your days, God can turn into a blessing as he promises. But then the professor reminded us that our Creator has infinite imagination and loves to use it to surprise and bless his people. Dr. Becker said, around every corner in heaven, we will discover a new surprise. God's grace and blessing keep producing more hope. When we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And he keeps on surprising with more and more hope, the eager expectation. We overflow with hope in Jesus Christ and end with this blessing. Now may the God of hope fill you with complete joy and peace as you continue to believe so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.